You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. Elvis Aaron Presley bringing us on. I just thought about it. The coincidence of today. Mary Jacobs is gone at Oral Valley, and it's One Hit Wonder Day. Oh, so good. I love entertaining myself. It's the best. 790-2040. Carlos Ruiz will be here in the third hour to talk about Tankaverde Valley Incorporation. It's just not Vail anymore, as we like to say. Ted Maxwell, good morning.
Good morning. Well, I think that's a great topic. Although, Chris, I can't believe you're going to take the next hour and put your application for Oro Valley Town Manager to the side.
I'm already tightening up the resume. Me and Mayor Joe will work hand in hand. And the first thing I will do is fire Jonathan Rothschild as the town attorney.
I think you've made that pretty clear in the first hour today.
He's a nice little feller, but he's way too partisan to be with too much baggage to be our town attorney.
All honesty, what are the decisions he's had to make though? That I'm not sure what decisions and rulings
he's advised
on. Town
attorneys are always about what's in the background, as you know.
That's
public,
true.
It's
all about the process.
Yeah, you know better.
Okay, you're right. I've been caught.
You're wearing your Air Force polo today because you're a grad of the Air Force Academy.
I am.
And you are the best football team in the entire state of Colorado right now.
Right now, that's true.
Fort Lewis Skyhawks, I think.
So the irony of it is the team actually looked really strong this year and they couldn't beat a couple Colorado schools on their way. And then ran into a problem in Wyoming. Well, what I found is about a half the team was out. And I have no details of what it was from, but it was illness. I mean, it was illness. They were sick. And Wyoming has always, always given the Air Force Academy a tough time because Wyoming spent years and decades running the wishbone.
Well, you guys,
so they know how to defend it.
They're
big boys.
You guys are monsters on this. The amount of yardage you're getting out of your wishbone right now is off the wall.
I think
like 396 a game or some ridiculous thing like that.
It really is impressive. And the years are good. And it's a tough defense to prepare for in 1 week. And the linemen at the Air Force Academy are always undersized, but you take a look at the splits they get because they know where they're going. They know where the ball may or may not go, and then the quarterback just reads it and plays. And I was very lucky. My first 2 years at the Air Force Academy, I think we won 3 games total.
Wow.
The junior and senior year in 83 and 84 is when Ken Hatfield and the Wishbone took the turn, and we got to 2 bowl games.
All right.
So. And we've had some up and downs since then. As long as we could only have figured out a way to get BYU off our schedule, it would have been fine.
No, that's life. You got to overcome these obstacles. You're the Air Force, for God's sakes. So you're just like, what do you want to talk about today? You threw a bunch of stuff, including my meatball class in the whole thing.
What
do you want to know?
And all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, I'm going on Freeform Monday because Chris's response over the weekend was, hey, let's just talk about it all. I go, are you kidding me? We can't get through half the stuff we plan on talking about.
That's even better to come underprepared.
Yeah. So I do want to follow up a little bit on your conversation last week with Farhad about the RTA.
Yeah.
And Noah actually had a really good question. You know, what happens if this doesn't get approved? Why don't we go back to making the municipalities
do what they're supposed to? In full disclosure, you are on the board of RTA.
That is true. Governor Ducey appointed me to the State Transportation Board a year ago in May. So I've been a little over a year on the State Transportation Board. And that, because of that position, that is one of the 9 our PAG board members, as well as one of the 9 RTA board members.
Right.
In theory, on the PAG board, I'm only supposed to be a voting member for budget and operational issues and transportation stuff. And then obviously the RTA, it's a full one. The interesting thing for me on that front is I'm the only non-elected person on that board. And because of that, I've actually a couple of times voiced, am I the only one that doesn't understand politics? Because and maybe I don't. Maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe the politics have gotten so, to the party sides that nobody wants to cooperate or talk or negotiate. But infrastructure is so critical to our region, to the state.
So I would argue with you that the members of the RTA board that are ours are more moderate than the Democrats that are on the same board, which are hard lefts.
I would not disagree in this situation. I mean, there's no doubt.
I mean, Winfield's a D. Well, he's pretty moderate, right?
See, I didn't know that. See, remember, those are all nonpartisan elections.
So Winfield's a D who's moderate.
Don't tell me Ed's a D.
Ed's an R who's moderate, right? He'll work with you.
Ed leans a little, but I know Ed and I have a great time.
Ed leans Marana.
And that's what they should do. Right. I have no problem with that.
And Murph's
lean
the same way.
Districts. Oh, agreed.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I've actually got no problem working with anybody on the board.
Yeah.
And the challenge is they all are very concerned with their municipalities. And they do what they're supposed to. They represent their municipalities.
Correct.
And that's why getting back to, and you brought it up very well last week, we have to come up with a plan that the region will support and need. The half-cent sales tax that the city of Tucson just taxed themselves to take care of their roads really addressed in a large part the maintenance, because you brought up maintenance with Farhan last week.
Yeah.
And for a while, it was looking like if we didn't have maintenance in there's no way this was going to pass the region, because there's probably 530,000 voters inside the city of Tucson that are concerned about the maintenance of their roads. I mean, we've got issues outside, but we're seeing some progress. Oracle Road, with state funding and RTA money's made a big change. And you can tell where it's been done and where it hasn't been done when you're driving up and down it.
Does the RTA vote have to be on an even year if they do it?
No, RTA vote can go at any time.
Gotcha.
We can ask for a special election. We can do that. And here's the big challenge with the regional transportation authorities right now. This year, Pinal County has their RTA on the ballot. Now, they don't have an RTA yet. This is their first one. They passed one several years ago. The Supreme Court of Arizona said the tax, because it was a variable tax,
and
what
this.
They did. This is the one they said any item over $10,000 would only be taxed, the regional tax, up to $10,000, a.k.a. vehicles. That was really, it was a big push, because that's one of the Pinal County strengths, they believe, is that you can go there and you pay less tax than almost anywhere else when you're buying a vehicle. So people will drive 100 miles, 200 miles to save that tax money and others.
There's a place in Oracle that advertises.
Exactly,
that.
Right. That's not far. I mean, that's just, past beyond Saddlebrook and you're there. There's actually a couple of dealerships up there. But the Supreme Court said that was illegal. So they're coming back to their voters basically 4 years later asking, all right, will you prove it now without that variable income tax? It may be closer. They're still polling over 70% because they need money for roads. They just do.
I feel like Pinal County has a better perception of getting things done than the current people that are in business in Pima County.
If you look right now,
other than their elections,
if you look right now in Casa Grande, Maricopa, there's a lot of Pinal County towns that are exploding.
Yep.
I mean, Casa Grande has gotten multiple businesses there, from Pfizer to Nikola, Lucid. I mean, they're Kohler. It wasn't Pfizer, it was Kohler. You're right. 2.8 million square feet is going to be the size of the Lucid factory. But they don't have the infrastructure yet to support it, or the housing. And who's benefiting? Mayor Ed.
He is.
Marana is
Lucid people running all over the place.
You can't walk in without seeing Lucid shirts at the Fries on Tangerine. It's there.
No, it's true. And then, of course, Wild Bill sent that story out about the I-8, I-10 Industrial Park.
Mm-hmm.
With another 1,300 acres, and that I bet that fills up pretty fast.
Well, there's a lot up there, but remember, when you drive by up, you look over and you see World Mart and all that. That whole area. I mean, we're kind of right in that area. That's part of the land that they're talking about. It's going to fill. It's going to take off. But you have to have the infrastructure to support it.
Yep.
That's why things like.
But they got winds up. They got winds on the sheet right now.
Oh, they do.
Canal.
Oh no,
we have
there,
no
there's
winds.
No doubt. They've got a ton, and so you've got the Pinal RTA this fall. Maricopa is still trying to get their Prop 400 extension on the ballot. Now they have to go to the legislature, and that's been one of the challenges. That's the one Governor Ducey vetoed this year.
Right.
So they're going to have to go back. But the impact that will have on that region, if you take a look at what the impact regional transportation funding has had on it, it's made the 101, the 202, and the 303 possible. It's made the growth of Maricopa possible. Down here in Tucson, in I believe the late 60s, mid 70s, again in the 80s, always a crosstown freeway or some kind of expansion of regional roadways. They all failed.
Sorry.
And now you wonder why we've gone from 1 to 1 million in the time that Maricopa's gone from 3 million to 4.5. I mean, it's from 1 million to 1.1, then they've gone from about 3.5 to 4.5. we do not have the roads and the infrastructure to truly support the kind of growth we would like in this community. And SLC believes it's the economy that's going to drive the problems. If you want to fix the crime, you know how we fix that? With jobs and opportunity. More police will help too. But we need jobs and opportunities. We need to get people employed, gainfully employed. And we don't have, that's just not growing right now.
Correct. And I apologize. We did have a positive note. I saw the Sun Corridor in the city of Tucson and Pima, some company called A6. They are renting a closet behind Lee Lambert's office. I think it has about one employee. Because they didn't put any, they didn't have any Sun Corridor shine about, you know, 500 to 800 employees.
So we're free form. We're going to free form on Monday. So here goes my free form. I'm gonna.
And then we got to go to break after you do this.
Absolutely, because this, I'm sure this will bring you, give us lots to talk about during the break. Sun Corridor and Joe, they only can sell the product. Well, guess what? The product right now is not that good.
Hold that thought. This is perfect tease. I love this. This is great. Hold that thought. We're going to have that discussion. This goes out to Ted up in the OV. A little boys from Scandinavia. The AHA kids. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice. If you want, Noah, if you want to come yell at Ted, 790-2040.
This is a special request. It's Ann Holden's birthday, so John wanted us to wish her a happy birthday. And he suggested a very classy song, and I asked him if he could put it into a one-hit wonder format, and so this is what he gave me, so I hope you don't find any dead skunks in the middle of the road in Tennessee, Ann.
I thought it was that Sun Corridor's performance. Dead skunk. I thought, sorry. I'll give myself a one. I want to get back to RTA Ted Maxwell, but we've had this discussion, we've gone round and round on Sun Corridor, right?
Right.
Is the idea that Joe has no courage to publicly say what Tucson needs to be fixed. He's taking the money under false pretenses because he's selling a dead product. So it comes. Look at all the people that are on his board that they think he's the bee's knees, and they keep giving this loser more money. Is he should be saying, just come out and say it. Right, just like Bobby Robbins needs to come out and say we have a real big reading and basics problem, and we can't. We're going to stop taking TUSD kids if they can't read and do eighth grade math. I want a little leadership, as we say at Southern Arizona Leadership, and that's what we don't get from Joe Snell. That's my take. I don't want to keep going because it's a dead issue. They don't do anything.
Well, we'll agree to disagree in some spot.
The RTA discussion is more important than Joe freaking Snell.
And Joe and I have had that conversation. I think he's got a lot more voice. And as the economic development group, the group that's trying to attract businesses, they Sun Corridor has got the ability to stand up and say that these are the things you need to change. Too often we do it.
He never says it publicly. It's bull crap. Most of the elected officials don't respect him. That's the other thing.
Well, most elected...
Matt Hines had to get voted... think about that Matt Vines vote. He said, I talked to the chair of Sun Corridor 3 times, and I've decided that I'm going to vote for... but he failed to say that Judy Rich, his boss, is the chair of Sun Corridor.
I don't know how any of that played out at all, but the truth of the matter sometimes... I know that. I know the conversation, what it's set up there. I know what he didn't say, you know? But I don't know what the conversation was behind the scene. But... there's no doubt that the one area that the business community, and it's very apparent. We just talked about that the Kevin Daly and the effort they're putting on out of that, you know, and Josh Jacobson obviously is involved in that. Josh is a member of SLC as well. And the conversations are beginning to happen more often, and I'm hoping you will see a little bit more aggression out of a coalesced business organization. But the small, those are the members they need to hear from. The small businesses and business leaders in this community have to be able to voice that they can't afford to have their windows broken.
I agree.
They just can't. You know, they do it daily. Their businesses are not just being impacted. Their ability to make a living is being impacted. So that voice needs to be heard. Now, you know, Steve Kasachek was upset that they ranted. They don't know what they're talking about. And they cold cocked him. I was shocked and impressed at the same time when I saw the list of people showing up at that. And I did. I was online on that one and watched the event, and I thought it started off very well. But here's the thing you don't have. When you don't have a free flowing of information at the call to the audiences, or people aren't willing to go into that fray, or it's only one side of voices you're hearing, and this is a countywide problem. And what sometimes people forget is what goes on in the city of Tucson does impact the rest of the county. Most of the businesses, You know, we hear a lot, and I've said very clearly that sales tax that's collected for RTA, a lot of that sales tax is collected from people who are not citizens of Tucson, because we come into the town to either conduct business, to purchase items and do business, or for entertainment.
In hindsight, I wish probably in the end that Kevin and Josh and Monica and the crew said, if you basically cleared it, that if you're, you have to be a bona fide business owner to speak at the 2 minutes. I think that would have been better.
So you understand that better.
We had too many grandstanders, you know, between people calling for their recall, which is fine, right? I got it, right? But not a business owner. This is the idea of feeling the pain of the people. Then I had the political grandstanders like Zach and Wadsack. So I love how that rhymes.
The recall. Let's just go to recalls. Yes. How many successful recalls has there been in the state of Arizona?
Not many.
Yeah, if any. Maybe a couple. But 90%+ of them fail. You have a chance to place your vote at the ballot box. You need to do it in the primary. You know, everybody's now, once again, primary turnout significantly lower than general. I don't know if people don't understand.
Especially in
it.
The city council. It's like 3,000 people, for God's sakes.
That is where the decisions are made.
Yep.
You know, and you've got to have your voice heard. I agree with you. You don't want something to be where people are just throwing out, just spewing venom. You've got to come prepared to talk with facts and impact. Yeah, I understand you're angry. I understand you're
every pissed. One of those business owner stories were so like heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where the rubber met the road.
And I think that's what people miss, is they don't understand the impact on those truly small ones. You know, the video that
Josh, I love them looking uncomfortable. People are screaming at them. But after a while, I wanted more of those business stories. That's why people said, why didn't I speak? And I didn't want to take time from the business owners.
And I appreciate that. You've got your Monday morning rant. You've got correct. 3 hours every, you know, every day. You've got plenty of time. They don't. I do believe that it goes both ways on that one. And it's just like when we get upset when a single community or single homeowner association or neighborhood association will come in and take up all the time at the city council's call the audience. That's just as wrong. There's got to be some way that people have to understand. Fact-based, get your point in, move on.
When we come back, one of our listeners is a property management owner. He's calling and he's talking about, he was one of the speakers at the meeting on that Thursday. Wake up.
I'd love.
This one was multiple requests on the waste book was Old Brandy.
You bet. Great tune.
So.
And I think it's just not quirky enough that it doesn't jump off as one. A lot of times these one-hit wonders have a quirky, you know, Dexie and the Midnight Runners and you know, some of those others. But this one's just it's a good tune.
Well, this isn't that
everybody's
smooth
head starts
yacht
bopping.
Rock kind of feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
And you're going, they have to have another. No.
The second Guardians of the
Marianne,
Galaxy,
and that was not much of a hit.
The opening of the second Guardians of the Galaxy, when he went back in time with his dad and whatever, this song was again part of that soundtrack thing. Yeah. So it got a little bit of a relive over there. So we're hanging out with Ted Maxwell, Southern Arizona Leadership Council. Let's go to the phones. Joel Katz, longtime listener, first time caller. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, Chris. I want to first say I appreciate your effort to stay on top of the homeless issue in Tucson. More of the TV stations, every press outlet has to lead every newscast with this issue.
Amen.
It's made to be this massive issue, and I own two properties here in Tucson, shopping centers. One is in the county, one is in the city. I just left the county property. There's nobody there occupying my space right now. And I'm on my way to the second one, and my son and I do this every day. And that's what has to happen in this town. I wrote an email to, you know, when I get emails from the city and the county, it's a chain email with 20 names on them, none of whom I know or I care to know. I don't need to be told that I have to find out which department to go to clean out a homeless camp. So why would I think to go to Environmental Services to do that? Or Department of Transportation? Or why would I have to figure out which jurisdiction is responsible for a corner? River and Oracle, where I have a property, there's four corners and there's two jurisdictions. And it's easy for them to say it's the other guy. I get right to my email. You wrote the protocols. You figure out who deals with the problem I'm reporting as a concerned citizen. I have a responsibility to my property, my tenants, the customers that frequent my shopping center to keep that as safe as I can. And I've been pretty successful at it, having 50, 60 people arrested. I've had a 1,000-foot-long alley cleared out by the city who was an environmental mess with a camp on it. I've had camps cleaned out with a 3-day notice, and a counselor comes down, and a guy is plugged into my electrical outlet in the shopping center and comes at one of my tenants with an axe. Wrong tenant. Former parole people, prison people with guns. We have to take back the city. We have election term limits. They're called elections. Unfortunately, we don't have that opportunity in this election, but with Monica and Kevin starting to get organized, and they have to become, and this is not a criticism, more focused. Oh, here's a guy in a drainage ditch on my shopping center with a... who, after we have this conversation, I will chase. He knows who I am. I can't get out of my own car in my shopping centers.
So who knew 10 years ago this is what you'd be spending most of your time with your shopping centers, is chasing out drugged out zombie fentanyl addicts?
Okay, well, Chris, I have to stop that. Defining who these people are is irrelevant. They're all homeless. That's the commonality. Some of them are down and out. Some of them are legitimately psychologically impaired. And a lot of them are drug addicts and criminals. They're all homeless. So we have to deal with the homeless problem, get them into a place we can then disperse them to the appropriate place, whether it's an institution for mental health, whether it's a jail. I don't know.
But Joel, who has the willingness and the ability to do that?
All of us.
And Joel, to your point, you said everybody needs to get focused. And you're right. We have term limits. They are elections. The focus needs to be a solid consensus voice. And we've got some challenges in these elections. We need to find, there are Republicans and Democrats that feel the same about this issue. And you've got to be able to find the ones that are willing to step up and run so that there's actually a threat. And the elected officials are supposed to respond to the people. And if they're focused and if we're able to get the message, I appreciate what you're doing. We're in the process of moving our office. And one of the reasons is because the homeless situation has taken over our area, and the property managers do the best they can do to keep it clear out. But it has gotten to the point where addressing it, five folks who are currently homeless or houseless or whatever term you want to use at a time, isn't significant enough. We've got to get to the core of get them into mental health if they are the ones that have the mental health issues. Get them into drug treatment if they're the ones that have the drug issues. And if they're truly the ones that are just down and out and they've got housing, they should be the easy ones. Put them in that housing first program, they're good to go. But if you put the wrong person in the wrong type of system, nothing is going to change. So we really do, I think, need to get focused on addressing the core issues of why they're currently homeless, and that will help us get them out of that situation. Because anybody who thinks that's a good quality of life, I cannot imagine when you see the squalor and if you see just in our cubby way from where our office is every day, the mess that's left behind, they're not living a good quality life. Let's be compassionate in this.
I agree with you. You're well spoken. It's what you do. That's not what I do. I've developed real estate all my life. I'm an expediter. When I was on the East Coast, I dealt with a government where I was the enemy. Okay, I was the enemy. So I learned how to deal with that. You start at the bottom and you work up. Right now, there are not enough people committed to spend the money in the government to do all of the things which you mentioned. The thing that we have to do first is make these people uncomfortable. All we can do is move them from one corner. My corner is better than most because I work at it. We all have to work at it. A bus driver on SunTran can report homeless people living in a bus stop and have somebody disturb them. That's all I do. I had two drug addicts. I go to Asheville, North Carolina for a week. I come back. I go to River Village on River and Oracle, and there's a woman shooting up at the bus stop. I walked up to her. You ever engage these people? You ever engage them? The government, as an individual, the mayor, these people are citizens before they're elected officials or government workers. We're all a set of eyes. There's a major problem on XYZ corner. Call somebody who can expedite making it uncomfortable. Get rid, confiscate shopping carts from people. That is their method of transportation. After they steal the shopping cart, everything in it, ask them for a receipt for it. They steal everything. Have you ever been in a Walgreens 2 feet from a couple that looked like came from hell shoplifting, and Walgreens people can't do anything about it because they've been told not to? We have to, as a, you know, when I lived in New York, Giuliani came along after 20 years of chaos. You know, if people don't remember, New York City was bankrupt for 20 years. He came in and he started with the squeegee guys, the people cleaning windows coming out of the tunnels. And he said that meant there's a new guy in town. It took 2 years for him to change the laws and the approaches toward community policing and broken windows. There's a short-term thing and there's a long-term thing. We have to make it uncomfortable for these people to be on streets. They cannot have cardboard signs to panhandle. Simple things. You guys, and this is not a criticism, this is an encouragement, and the government, you can't panhandle on medians. And if you don't like, it's a handicap issue. They block handicap access.
Those laws are already on the books.
And Jeff, I fully agree with you, because what you're saying is very clear. The only way to enact change is to put a focus on it. And right now, there is not a focus in this region on the homelessness issue. Because if we don't, like you said, make them feel uncomfortable, get them options, it's not going to change. And it's progressively gotten worse over the last several years. And, you know, some people say, well, maybe it's not worse. And I think it is. But it's more visible for sure, because there's nothing, no focus on it. And why I think what you're doing is great for your tenants. It's only, that's like you said, you're just moving it out of your area. And I'm not telling you, I'd keep doing it. That's what they pay you to do. That's your job. That's where what you've done so well over your career. We need more folks that are either doing that, but we also need the region to start getting aggressive at addressing the issue. Nobody's, you know, they're making $10 to $20 an hour on those street corners.
Oh, they're making more than that.
And so it's enough to feed where they get their pleasure. And that's it. It's generally not the ones that are truly in that houseless situation.
Joel, I'm going to give you the last word, then I got to go to break.
Gentlemen, thank you for your hard work. Please continue it. I will continue it if I can help in any way. I'm trying to work with Monica. I'm a very focused guy. I can get up in front of these politicians and make a focused point, not this mumbo jumbo that we're hearing at every level. Gentlemen, I appreciate the time. Take care.
Thanks, Joel. Stay strong.
Thanks, Joel. Bye.
All right, let's go to break. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. One Hit Wonders. Yesterday was One Hit Wonder Day, so little Animotion obsession for you kids. I used to roller skate the crap out of this song, Wake Up Tucson.
That's a sight.
Absolutely. Now, the public safety dance. I'm going to play this outside City Hall really loud. We're hanging out with Ted Maxwell, Southern Arizona Leadership, who just made an announcement that SALC is fleeing the city of Tucson for safety reasons.
We're still in the city of Tucson.
Oh, that's right. You're on the south side.
We're on the south side. We're staying inside the city of
Tucson.
We it's but it,
here, if you're gonna move, get the hell out.
Here's one of the differences. This one's got 24/7 security, and gotcha. It's kind of we talked off the air about you're seeing more and more. I mean, basically. Mr. Katz is providing 24/7 security for his folks. That's what he's doing. He's doing the legwork on that. And the issues you get, look at Rio Nuevo. They just started hiring some off-duty police officers to patrol down there.
Fletcher's going to need more than two guys down there. ESQ, what are you going to say?
Drive by El Rio on Grant. Very public, very visible security, even as you drive by. Very visible on the security.
Well, that's a growth industry right now is private security in Tucson. That's what you're dealing with. It's a cost of doing business that shouldn't be there.
And it is, but what it's basically saying here's the concern. This is where I think the city and the county and they need to start understanding. Maybe you know it's just the city or the cities. The more you go to private security, the more the more conflicts you're going to have, the more confrontations.
Of course.
Because they're going to be. And then, you know.
You're going to have a business owner blow some guy away with a shotgun, right? And what will happen
Heard what Mr. Katz even said, picked on the wrong business owner that day.
Right. I mean, and what's going to happen is some business owner who's getting attacked by a fentanyl freak with a knife is going to kill him. And then Rahina's going to say, you know, they're going to point it at the business owners as the bad guy, right? Even though the city has painted them into a corner. And the federal government, because that fentanyl problem, okay, and the idea that guys like Mark Kelly enable it, don't want to even talk about it in his own state, is sickening. It's sickening because you're taking all of these people, the people screwed up on the fentanyl, the people being victimized by the people on the fentanyl, you're just throwing them into the fire. It's pathetic. It's pathetic.
Yeah, we've
pathetic.
It's like we said, you have folks in the homeless community, and we'll call the homeless community, then inside there you do have the houseless, those who cannot, because of either a change in their situation, a change in their housing environment, they can't afford, or they are down on their luck. That's one group of people you have in there. But you've also got the two other, the mental, those who have serious mental considerations, and those who have the drugs. Well, the 90% of the crimes that we're talking about are not, or maybe even higher than that, are not being inflicted by those first two groups, the mental and the true houseless. But the drug users that are out there that are homeless, they are feeding it.
If you can sweep the fentanyl freaks to someplace off the street where they can go get help, all right, you could definitely improve the quality of life within this region, right? And this is the number one, is this the number one problem facing the region right now, Ted Maxwell?
It's definitely, yes, I would say so, because we go back to the criticism you had earlier for Suncorridor, and I said you've got to consider the product. And the product, you cannot drive through this town without seeing the level of our homeless problem. Yes, I understand it's occurring all over the U.S. in some part, but there are many cities that have proven that you can deal with it.
Sure.
And we need to go out and do that. And I know the city right now is banking on housing first. My argument is the three different segments we just talked about all don't work under housing first. You have to have a multi-pronged approach to how you deal with this. One, that's going to be the right situation for each one of those different categories of people we have in homeless.
And we have so much money that goes for drug rehabbing between the Kodaks, the Fronteras, the Community Foundation. Just go, let's take these people and figure it out how to get the druggies someplace.
You have large segments of this community that will gladly support that fiscally, and you've got the volunteers and the compassionate folks that work in that industry that want to do it. But we don't take advantage or leverage that. I've heard some of the talk among some of the council members off the record behind the scenes that are talking about we need to try to replicate or enhance more things like the opportunity centers. Yes, that's one screen to it. But there are multiple screens that we've got for those three different segments. We've got to address them. But right now, we're doing a little bit in all of them, and it's not doing any good.
I know this is make some people in the council have a seizure. We do need the tent city, okay? Because we can't build the capacity that quickly, okay? You need the tent city, okay? You need to make it a humane place to take these people and have the Fronteras community, all these people working there, and Gospel Rescue and whoever else wants to put in there. That's what needs to happen. That's the immediate solution.
And it's immediate and it's short term.
Yeah,
that's the other thing we have to understand.
Yeah,
once we create something that, like a compound or a camp, there was a letter to the other day that said make it like a KVOA camp, you know, a COA camp where the people make some of them nice and low income. I think somebody alluded to somebody out on the east side that's fascinated with tiny houses. There's a lot of different solutions out there that we could possibly do. But if the first thing is make that campground that you need, but it's got to be temporary.
They're living in tents anyway.
Already. Agreed.
We're just moving in an area that's away from the rest of the people that they're terrorizing, right? And concentrate people to do services to help them get off the crap
absolutely.
Or whatever.
And again, the reason I stress the temporary thing is because the longer it becomes a community, the harder it is ever to either clean, and it starts getting the internal organizations. Every group's got folks that are going to see an opportunity to take advantage of a situation, and they're going to go in there and roll it. And unless you got 24/7 complete access, it's going to be rough. But to your point, that's the quick short-term fix. But right now, you cannot drive through our region without seeing the devastation, and It's just wrong.
Then I think we see things through such a severe political lens at times, right? That we have to make everything's a political thing, right? So the in the quote file under bad timing, right, is George Floyd and the naked coked up guy. Everything is seen through to this day. Everything is seen through that lens, and it doesn't apply here. Okay, it doesn't apply here because the naked coked up guy is a whole. I mean, think about this story by Nicole Ludden. The first two of the first four paragraphs are about the naked coked up guy.
And Chris, to your point, some of that's how our political spectrum has evolved. We are going to.
But I need extremes. Adults but, to go beyond that.
And, but this, the homeless issue. There's Republicans, there's Democrats, there's independents who all want to help solve it because they all see that, A, this is not a good quality of life for those people, and it's impacting every single person that lives in this region, every single one. So it is not partisan. And the solutions have to be broad. And yes, I understand the urban area thinks the housing first is the solution. It's part of it, but you've got to be willing to engage on all fronts. And part of that is continued improvement of our public safety.
So let's get back to this Kevin Daley group, which I love what they're doing. They've added 166 businesses in 1 week.
And that should make our elected officials start to listen.
But what they need to do is they now need to, in the end, next year, they need to run candidates for city council. Right? There's four, I got a mayor and three seats coming up. You can go get a majority right now within a year. Okay?
And to my earlier point, yes, the election system inside of the city of Tucson heavily favors Democratic candidates. There are Democrats who own these small businesses, who agree with them, who want to go out and do it, and you need to find those folks. If we find people that are so far on the opposite side, A, they're not going to get elected, and B, it's not going to do any good.
So in the end, right,
it's not going to make a difference.
We need to find people to run. In the end, it has to be Democrat primaries. That's how this works. I'm sorry, guys. That's the way the game is played. All right. So if you had, I'm just going to use this as a working term right now. If Kevin Daley's group starts producing candidates and we call them safety first candidates, I'm not saying that's great. I just came up with it off the top of my brain right now. And you ran safety first candidates with a lot of power behind it and people came in with money for just remember, it's only 3,000 to 4,000 people vote in a Democrat primary.
And now
you can make a difference.
And Chris, to the point, that's who the elected officials are going to listen to. They are going to listen to the people that, A, are in their ears, then B, the people that support them.
Yep.
So either you have to figure out a way in this problem to get the current elected officials to understand that, hey, I will support you if you start really showing effort in this front. Instead of demanding a recall, which A, won't work, go to them, make the case, get them to change their attitudes. If you look at politicians over the lifetime, they tend to wander towards where their support is. Because what's their goal?
Remember, one of the truths in Wake Up Tucson, it's all about election day in the end.
It's amen.
That's where we're at. Well, we did it.
That's a free flow Monday. That was pretty. That was fun. It was definitely more passionate. I didn't even have to turn my computer on once.
Look at that. Well, thanks for the hour as always, sir.
Thanks, Chris.
Talk to you soon. Carlos Ruiz coming up next. Tankaverde Valley Incorporation.
And that's an important topic. And have fun with Carlos.
All right. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.